Hello, and welcome to Distillations, weekly extracts from the past, present, and future of chemistry. I'm Robert Hicks. Each week, we bring you stories on all things chemical, from film to fluorescence. In this week's show, we're talking about things that make light. We'll find out why the orange light of nighttime parking lots is more than just an eyesore, and learn about tiny underwater creatures that glow. That's all coming up on today's episode of Distillations. Darkness can be terrifying. For almost as long as there have been humans, there have been attempts to light up the night. Fire, electricity, and even radiation are just some of the tools we've used to create artificial light. These technologies have transformed the way we live and experience time. We're so committed to illuminating the night, in fact, that real darkness can be hard to come by. In American cities, you'd be lucky to see any but the brightest stars. Forget about the Milky Way. Light pollution has become a real problem, with consequences for ecosystems and human health. Audra Wolf explains what chemistry has to do with it in today's Element of the Week.
You can blame sodium, an alkali metal found toward the top left of the periodic table, for that orange light coming from street lamps, parking garages, and even some car headlamps. These lights are known as either sodium arc or sodium vapor lamps, because they produce light by vaporizing sodium between two electrodes. The lamps come in two varieties, low and high pressure, that produce slightly different kinds of light. The low pressure lamps are the most energy efficient light source that's commercially available today. But the light they produce is a single line spectrum at 589 nanometers that makes it difficult to distinguish color. The high pressure version, on the other hand, contains a bit of mercury, which creates a more complex spectrum. Even though the light is still orange, it's possible to make out the difference between colors. Both kinds of sodium vapor lamps are widely used in streetlights, parking lots, and security lighting. They're relatively inexpensive to operate, both because sodium itself is so abundant and because they use very little energy. They're so cheap, in fact, that they've become overused. Because it doesn't cost that much to run an individual lamp, commercial property owners tend to leave them on all the time, whether or not they're needed. And because traditional street lights send some light sideways and upwards instead of just down, a soft orange glow suffuses the atmosphere above most population centers. That makes it hard to see the stars, and the lack of real darkness can disrupt the biological clocks in humans and other animals. An organization called the International Dark Sky Association, or IDA, has been fighting light pollution since the 1980s. It encourages cities to pass lighting ordinances and building managers to ask themselves just how much outdoor lighting they actually need. The IDA has created a seal of approval for light fixtures that reduce glare and so-called light trespass. That's when light shines where it's not supposed to be. Ironically, it turns out that well-designed low-pressure sodium lamps can be one of the best lighting choices for areas near astronomical telescopes, because astronomers can filter out their single orange wavelength. And that's it for the Element of the Week. I'm Audra Wolf.
You're listening to Distillations. I'm Robert Hicks. We humans have to create light, but some animals light up on their own. If you've ever watched fireflies glowing in the night sky, you've witnessed bioluminescence. That's what it's called when organisms emit light. It's not just fireflies that glow. So do many kinds of jellyfish, beetles, worms, and even mushrooms. Producer Ann Dornfeld explores how bioluminescence works.
Every year, thousands of people travel to a small Puerto Rican island to take to the plankton-rich waters, only at night and only when the moon is thin in the sky. It sounds like a pagan ritual, but the swimmers are actually here to experience one of the world's brightest bioluminescent bays. I took the plunge, too.
Whoa! Every time I wave my hands, there's a blue glow that emanates from the wake. It's ghostly.
The eerie glow comes from millions of dinoflagellates, microscopic, single-celled organisms that light up when they sense motion.
When I lift my arms, it looks like crystals are dripping off them. And I'm surrounded by a halo of glittering dots.
John Edwards is a zoology professor at the University of Washington. He says when biochemical reactions release energy, it's usually in the form of heat.
But in some cases, it's light that is emitted, and that is what we call bioluminescence. And that is achieved by using an enzyme called luciferase, and that works with a substance called luciferin, of which there are many different varieties.
Sometimes the reaction requires additional energy from the molecule ATP, the cellular unit of energy. In other organisms, just the presence of calcium is enough. Bioluminescence is different from fluorescence or phosphorescence. In fluorescence, absorbed light provides the energy for the glow. In bioluminescence, it's the chemical reaction that creates the light. It's thought that most deep-sea creatures are bioluminescent. Photos show glowing organisms miles beneath the waves, flashing red, yellow, green, and blue, like a Technicolor X-ray.
And sometimes it seems to have no particular use for the organism. In other cases, they've taken it over and used it.
Some deep-sea organisms use flashing lights as fancy fishing lures. Others spit glowing juice in their prey's face to disorient it while they move in for the kill. And some creatures just use bioluminescent beams as built-in flashlights. It's dark down there. Mark Martin leads tours of the bioluminescent bay here in Vieques, Puerto Rico. He says it's unknown why dinoflagellates light up, but most scientists agree it's a defense mechanism.
And that they're glowing to either scare or startle whatever's coming after them, to look bigger or harder to eat, to look toxic, or to alerting other species member that that's an area of attack or a problem.
A newer question is how humans can use bioluminescence to improve our lives. Zoologist John Edwards says the potential is there.
It's the most efficient way of converting energy into light, much better than any sort of appliances that we have, like fluorescent lights, etc.
Scientists already use bioluminescence to measure things like drug metabolism and cell growth. In cancer studies on mice, chemists can make tumors bioluminescent. That allows for the tumor growth to be monitored with special cameras, rather than by killing the mice. Bioluminescence helps food scientists gauge contamination. The ATP in bacteria feed the bioluminescent reaction, so glowing food is obviously spoiled. If you want to witness luminescence for yourself, Edward says you may already have everything you need to create a similar reaction, chemiluminescence.
If you take a roll of sticky tape and get in a nice dark cupboard, let your eyes get dark adapted, and you peel that stuff off, you'll see it glowing where the tape comes apart.
When the tape is yanked, the adhesive molecules get excited. As they settle down, the energy they release is in the form of light.
So if we could find a way of generating that sort of luminescence, it would be very efficient indeed.
Bioluminescence may even become a holiday tradition. It's being considered as an additive to Christmas trees, to create self-lighting trees with no fire hazard. For Distillations, I'm Ann Dornfeld in Vieques, Puerto Rico.
The brain food's gonna glow for a while.
Ann Dornfeld usually reports from Seattle. You can see photos of bioluminescence on our website, distillations.chemheritage.org. Have questions or comments about something you've heard on our show? Send your thoughts to distillations@chemheritage.org. Even if you aren't lucky enough to swim among bioluminescent creatures or see fireflies in your own backyard, you've probably encountered the man-made alternative. Objects that glow in the dark. Think about glow sticks or those green stars on the ceiling, or the glowing numbers on a watch. Glow-in-the-dark toys can light up for hours, yet you don't have to plug them in or flip a switch to turn them on. All you have to do is expose them to a light source, then put them in the dark. And voila, they glow. Anke Timmerman tells us how they work in this week's Mystery Solved.
Things can glow in the dark in many different ways. Bioluminescent organisms, like those underwater dinoflagellates, emit light as a result of biochemical reactions. The green glow from radium comes from a process called radioluminescence. Those single-use glow sticks, on the other hand, operate by a chemical reaction called chemiluminescence. But reusable pale green glow stickers usually depend on something called phosphorescence. Chemical compounds called phosphors, that's phosphors, not the element phosphorus, contain easily excitable electrons. When light shines on these compounds, they become energized. The energy from that light excites the electrons in the phosphors to higher energy levels. But instead of immediately falling back down to their ground state or initial energy level, the electrons fall down to an intermediate energy level, where they are trapped by unfavorable quantum mechanics. They do eventually return to the ground state, but because the energy transition is tricky, it may happen slowly. Some materials stop phosphorescing in a matter of seconds, but others can last for hours. As the electrons gradually fall back to their ground state, they release their energy in the form of light. In other words, they glow. The longer it takes the electrons to return to their initial energy level, the longer the glow lasts. So, the next time you see an excited child with a toy glowing in the dark, remember that at least some of those electrons there are settling down. Mystery solved. I'm Anke Timmermann.
Anke Timmermann is a historian at the Chemical Heritage Foundation. And that's it for this week's episode of Distillations. Today's quotation comes from the 19th century German writer Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. Someday, perhaps, the inner light will shine forth from us, and then we shall need no other light. Distillations is a presentation of the Chemical Heritage Foundation and is made possible by the generous support of the Richard Lounsbery Foundation. Mia Lobel is our senior producer, with help this week from Lissa Rome. Our assistant producer is Victoria Indeviro, and our executive producer is Audra Wolf. Our theme music is composed and performed by Dave Kaufman. Additional music provided from the PodSafe Music Network. Check it out at music.podshow.com. Please tell us what you think about our program and send suggestions for future shows to distillations@chemheritage.org. Until next time, I'm Robert Hicks.